Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Revelation chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. Wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Asleep in bed, she hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill, one disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come.
Lesson 246, The Seventh Seal. In our last lesson, we learned about the 144,000 Jewish believers who are faithful servants to God during the tribulation period and how they were protected from harm because God's seal was on them. In today's chapter, John will resume the vision of God's judgment during the Great Tribulation with the opening of the seventh and final seal of the scroll. As the final seal is opened in heaven, there is silence in heaven for about half an hour. Perhaps this represents a hesitation before executing the next judgments, a merciful space in which men can pause and consider what has been happening and to repent. The seventh seal will actually begin another series of seven judgments, which are each accompanied by seven angels, each sounding a trumpet. We will also learn that the seventh trumpet initiates another series of seven bowl judgments, which we will learn about in chapter 16. So we have three sets of seven judgments, with the seventh seal opening and initiating the seven trumpet judgments, and the seventh trumpet and the seventh trumpet opening and initiating seven bowl judgments. The triple seven may represent God's perfection and judgment by a complete and thorough execution of God's wrath. With the opening of the seventh seal, we see seven angels, each given a trumpet. Another angel with a golden censer stood by the altar and offered incense with the prayers of the saints on the altar before God's throne. The smoke of the incense ascended before God. The angel then took the censer and put some coals of fire from the altar in it and threw it towards the earth. This created noise, thunder, lightnings, and an earthquake. The imagery of the incense in heaven offered before God and associated with the prayers of the saints equates to the judgments that will come from God's throne upon the earth and directly answers to the prayers of God's people. This reminds us that God values our prayers and will answer them, and He will execute righteous judgment on those who do evil. Now when the seven angels will each sound their trumpets one by one with subsequent judgments coming upon the earth, the first angel sounded his trumpet, and hail, fire, mingled with blood, fell upon the earth. One third of the trees burned up, and all the grass was also burned up. The judgments during the tribulation affect man and result from man's sin, but all of creation will suffer from God's wrath, and not just man alone. When the second angel sounded his trumpet, a burning mountain with fire was cast into the sea, and one third of the sea turned to blood. This might indicate nuclear naval war, which causes much of the world's marine life to die. The third angel sounded his trumpet, bringing a star from heaven like a burning torch falling on one third of the rivers and springs of water. The star was called Wormwood. This caused one third of the fresh water supply upon the earth to become contaminated and bitter. Many men who drank this water died, since man depends on drinking water to survive, and perhaps this was the only water available to some people. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, causing both the sun and moon to be darkened by one third. This made the day one third shorter, since the sunlight was reduced by one third. This also meant less moonlight at night. With less sunlight coming to the earth, it will undoubtedly turn into winter conditions, unless the radiation from the sun is uninhibited by a damaged atmosphere. It is difficult to fathom the extent of these judgments and why it only affects one third of each thing it touches. Perhaps the meaning is that the damages of nuclear war are centralized to certain areas such as North America, Europe, Middle East, Russia, and China. This would make sense to us today, since we know that it is these areas which have nuclear weapons, and together they might equate to one third of the earth. Perhaps areas such as Africa, South America, Australia, and Northern Canada will be less affected, but we can only be guessing as the text does not elaborate about this. Now in heaven, John heard an angel flying in heaven and saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the three angels who are about to sound." With all the wide-scale devastation already upon the earth, we wonder how things could grow any worse. However, we shall see that the onslaught of God's wrath will continue until the judgment is complete. We might be thinking deeply and seriously about this future time of God's wrath and wonder how a merciful and loving God could so relentlessly bombard the world with horrific judgments. It is important that we take time to consider this And the reason these things have been written down and given to us prior to them happening, God is waiting for men to repent, and he wants us all to know that when judgment does fall, there will be no place to hide, and judgments will equate to the crime. Why is God so angry? Why such fury hurled upon the men of this world? The Bible will help us to appreciate why God is justified in his anger over sin. Men have rebelled against God's authority from the beginning of time, and God has patiently waited for men to repent and provided again and again means for men to be reconciled to God. When Jesus came to die on the cross, God was giving his ultimate gift to all of mankind. The precious gift of God's Son was intended to once and for all give men a remedy for their sin. The price paid was infinitely more than we could have ever paid, and God willingly paid for our redemption with the blood of his own Son. With such a great price paid, and with such an open door to forgiveness and peace with God, it is not surprising that God should be angry with those who refuse his grace, love, and sacrifice for them. Yes, God has every right to be angry, and to give men what they deserve, and that is the fury of his wrath for their refusal to honor the Son of God who died to offer them free salvation. These are some of the most frightening scenes in the entire Bible, and meant to stir in our hearts a sense of holy fear before God, and the awesomeness of his power and fury unleashed on a godless and Christ-rejecting people. Today, once more, the opportunity has been given to you to repent before God and call upon Jesus to save your soul. Admit to him that you are a guilty sinner and plead with him to have mercy upon you and to forgive you. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Revelation chapter 8, verse 6.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. Our age could have been murdered. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demons died. The Son has come, and you've been left behind.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we saw the results of the first four of seven judgments associated with angels blowing trumpets in heaven during the future tribulation period. There will be widespread destruction to the trees, grass, sea creatures, and fresh water supplies so that one-third of the earth is destroyed. Someone might ask the question, why do God's judgments only affect one-third of what they are sent to destroy? When men go to war, there is often not much in the way of compromise, compassion, or controlled aggression. The point of war, at its core, is to destroy the enemy and have them subdued. This could be motivated by greed, desire for power, or defense of lands, right, or honor. It is possible, and sometimes the case, that men will engage in a battle with a sense of respect towards their enemies, such that they engage in a fair war practice without needlessly killing civilians or plundering what belongs to others. In most cases, however, the point is to destroy and or subjugate one's enemies. In the book of Revelation, we have the unfolding or unveiling of Jesus as the righteous judge of the earth. In this, we see his wrath being poured out upon sinful men. The sheer scale of destruction and relentless barrage of fury might lead us to conclude that no mercy is left, and the intent is to obliterate all enemies. While the judgments are global and extensive, they are not without some opportunities for repentance. Ultimately, God is not interested in simply destroying his enemies. After all, Jesus came to die for his enemies. Even when it comes to his judgments and wrath, God designs them in such a way as to open a further opportunity for people to turn away from sin and accept Jesus as their Lord and King. While we cannot be sure why only one-third of the earth was affected by these series of judgments, it would seem that God is giving space for those living upon the earth to repent and seek God's mercy and forgiveness. During these awful judgments, when men are terrorized with horrific sufferings, we read four times that they refuse to repent. The words about repentance clearly tell us that God's judgments were meant to bring about repentance in men because of the judgments they had had to face. You see, God is not interested in simply destroying men who refuse His grace. He is filled with compassion and longs to see all men repent, believe, and be rescued from judgment. However, men stubbornly refuse to humble themselves and would rather defy God and suffer His wrath. It is hard to imagine how men can become so hardened by their sin and why they would rebel against God's loving offer of salvation. But then, if we consider that Satan also had a place in heaven as the exalted cherub before his prideful desires caused him to be cast out and to suffer God's judgment. Now that same spirit of pride and self-seeking will govern men's heart during the tribulation period, because Satan is their master, and it is to him they give their allegiance. God will not tolerate rebellion against His authority, and will establish Jesus as the Lord of lords and King of kings in a coming day. Before that day comes, God will suppress evil, judge it, and plead with the souls of men to repent. Even in the midst of His wrath and judgment, God is leaving room for men to turn from their wickedness and to receive His salvation. Men do not behave this way when they engage in war. In fact, some men use war as an opportunity to display the wickedness within their hearts by rape and pillaging innocent victims. It is as though they feel justified when battling their enemies to take advantage of innocent lives to plunder, rape, and kill without mercy. If man's heart is not governed by the love of God, then his heart will be filled with the hatred, selfishness, and pride of Satan. When we think of the consequences of one-third of the trees, grass, sea life, and fresh water being destroyed, it is a rather scary scenario, for men will be desperate to find food and water, and will likely turn to killing one another to find access to the limited supplies available. Those who can afford or have the means to travel will likely have to travel great distances to find water to drink and food to eat. The decaying environment will make the world a very sad place. Hopelessness will likely lead to desperation, and there will be no joy left in the world as men realize that their world of pleasure and comfort has come to an end. No one will be able to escape the suffering, since the whole world will share in this dark day of judgment. Today, some men enjoy living in luxury, living each day for pleasure and pomp. They can ignore that many people in the world live in poverty, hunger, and are victims of persecution and war. They might be able to ignore the sufferings going on all around them while feasting and enjoying life. However, the day will come when no one will be able to hide in their luxury home and ignore what is happening in the world, since the judgments will be large enough to affect every person on the earth, while still leaving room for men to find a pathway to God and to His forgiveness. Sometimes we imagine that peace will come to this world, but peace cannot come until God judges men and Christ is set up as the righteous King. Why not submit to His rule today by trusting in Jesus as your Savior? For He is coming, for He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. Psalm 96, verse 13. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus taught me when I'm stranger, wandering from the home of God. He to rescue me from danger, and to cause me precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great I dared. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a banner, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave.
If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024 1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Jesus, your name.